Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Smashpot. In the year 2017, an innocent man accused of a crime has a choice. Hard time or prime time?
Sensational. Perfect contestant. I want him.
He must pay or play the running man.
On your mark.
I'll be back.
He's playing for a prize. The prize is his life.
How about the life?
The running man.
Hello and welcome to Smersh Pod 3, the podcast that relights the fire of the 80s action movies and celebrates the decade where the explosion was king. Do you remember that?
Oh, you're talking to me?
Yeah.
Yes, I do remember that, John.
Explosion was king.
Explosion was king.
Yeah. This week we'll be talking about a crazy version of the future where a mad, weird bastard is in charge of America and uses the TV to make shit up. Weird, eh? Well, luckily it's not true. It's a film called The Running Man.
The Running Man.
And joining me in Mick Fleetwood's underground army is comedy actor Paul Litchfield, and friend of the show, I can say by
now. Oh, thanks for having me.
Who can
me
be
back.
Found on Twitter as Mr. P. Litchfield. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. This is a particular favourite of mine.
Yeah, you suggested it immediately.
I suggested it, didn't I? Yeah, you said, what do you want to talk about? And I said, The Running Man, please.
The Running Man.
The Running Man.
The Running Man.
Who's that supposed to be?
Sid James.
That's supposed to be Sid James. The Running Man. Running nose. I've got the runs. I don't know. I don't know what they'd be. Shit myself. That's what I'm saying. Well, it's the first thing Sid would do is shit himself if he was in that position, don't you think? Who would it be if it was the carry-on teams? Would it be Sid? Because obviously... I'm
a former disgraced chopper pilot. Chopper cock. Anyway.
No, Sid James would be Killian, I think.
No, he's the hero. Sid would have to be...
No, but it would be Jim Dale as the hero, wouldn't it?
No, Jim would be the nerdy expert.
You're right.
Nerdy expert. And then yeah. Babs would be...
Amber.
Yeah, Amber. Yeah.
What about Joan Sims? Who would she be?
She'd be so not appearing in this film.
Yeah.
Sorry. No. I suppose she could be the old lady who says the reedy bit.
Yes.
Which is the highlight of the film, let's face it.
Also, the stalkers, one of them would be Jack Douglas.
Boy, get off. Yeah, he'd be great, wouldn't he?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, just thought about all the stalker. Yeah, that's fantastic. So Ken Williams would probably have to be Killian, wouldn't he?
Yes, he would.
He'd have to do that. You're right. Douglas would be brilliant as one of the stalkers.
Yeah.
Boy, get off.
Peter Butterworth, the Sub-Zero.
Bit chilly. That was a rubbish impression.
It was good, though.
Just said chilly.
Yeah, but it was good.
It was good. Anyway, we're not here to talk about carry-ons, though. No. I wish we were.
Well, carry-on running man would be amazing,
carry
though, wouldn't
on.
It?
Oh, carry-on running man.
Because it would be...
This is how it would go.
It would be the running man, or...
Yeah,
yeah.
Or keep on pegging it, or something. I don't know what it is. Leg it, you fucks. No, they never went that far.
Talbot. No.
Talbot would never let the word fuck be part of his canon.
No. The year is 2017.
Ah, see, I didn't even know that. So that's good to know already.
Yeah.
So it's
the past for us.
The past for us, the future for them.
Well, in some ways, hasn't this already been done, John?
Hasn't it?
Hasn't this sort of show already been done?
Mm.
This is like a Trump wank fantasy, isn't it?
It is, isn't
this
it?
Sort of thing.
This is the first film, because quite often presidents get a film and put it into the National Archive. This would be the first one he'd get, apart from like Boob Olympics or something.
Imagine if Trump's favourite film was something like One of Our Dinosaurs Is Missing. He'd be like, oh,
that's
oh,
that's,
I can't hate you now.
That's too lefty for
I
him.
I can't hate you now. No, but there'd be a reason why. And there'd be some obscure...
It would be Peter Ustinov, wouldn't it?
Oh, Peter Ustinov.
Hello, I am Peter Ustinov.
Peter, are you going to do some of your amazing you know, voices when you're next on a talk show? Oh, they're always the same.
His anecdotes as well. Is that what you used to tell that one all the time about? He's an army colonel who had no teeth. And he'd go, what have you got in your bag today? And he'd be like, oh, I've got toffee. And he'd look at it and go, got any cake?
But he'd go on things like Russell Harty and he would go, she was a Polish lady and she had an interesting lisp and a rather deep timbre. And she'd come up to me and she'd go, Mr. Ustinov. And you'd be like, oh, come on, that's crap, Peter. Try harder.
He got an audience with, though, didn't he?
He did.
I used to love audience with. I was fascinated.
Did he do the kangaroo joke?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I was always fascinated with them because they have celebrities in the audience who are probably just picked
planted.
Beforehand.
Yeah.
Planted with questions.
Under duress, do you think? Oh, some yeah. of them, under duress?
They say things like, Peter, as an amazing comedian who's the funniest man that's ever lived,
yeah.
what do you think
you
about...
You see a Luger in the shop.
what do you think about plants?
Oh, well, plants...
Well, she spoke Latin mostly with a German accent and she went like this...
Oh, God, he's doing it again. He's one voice. He's a bit like, it is I, Leclerc, in yeah. the Hello, Hello series. You can only do one voice.
He can.
Anyways, God, we're digressing so much already.
I like an audience with, though. I think that's
no,
important.
No, God, yeah, they're amazing.
Or what was your favourite one?
Oh, well, probably Victoria Wood.
Mine was Kenneth Williams.
Kenneth Williams was good.
Because
but
he sang,
Ken did also suffer from that, I'm a master of voices, and then they all sound like Kenneth Williams.
Well, he did Sid Rumpo.
Yeah, but again, I remember him carry on Cowboy and him doing a, I think...
He did the guy talk like that.
He just talked like that, sir.
Yeah,
it's just
right.
Ken Williams with a drawl. Just a master of voices is Ken. Oh, no. Yeah, well.
I think he even got the step, stop messing about in that film as well, didn't he?
Probably.
Yeah.
But that was a congratulatory thing.
Anyway, if you're from America and you've listened to this thinking, I wonder what Brits think about The Running Man.
Yeah. Is this Brexit, are you thinking?
We talked about Audience With from about 1987.
An audience with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Always be Jimmy Tarbuck asking questions, though.
Oh, he'd have to, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
He'd have to. That was in his ITV contract.
Peter,
I know you're not working so much now, but will you be in every audience and ask a really simple question?
Peter, there's someone who loves playing golf like me. What do you think about the gold standard?
Stephen Hawking, someone who loves playing golf as much as you do.
I'd love to see an audience with Stephen Hawking.
Would you?
No.
No. No.
No.
I think we should move on.
Ben Richards.
Yes, Ben. Lovely, innocent Ben Richards.
He's an honourable man.
He's a deeply honourable man.
He is a helicopter pilot.
Chopper.
He's flying a chopper.
Choppers. Yeah. So he's flying a pilot because Sid James wasn't available for this film.
No.
And was dead.
He is forced to go and look at Bakersfield.
Okay.
I'm glad
you've got these facts.
There's a food riot happening.
Yes.
And he's told to fire upon the crowd and he won't do it.
Orders from on high.
Yeah.
Say, kill him. And he's like, I won't do that.
No, he says, the hell with you.
That's right, yeah.
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 And he's knocked out.
He's punched by his former, shall we say, friends? Are they friends?
Yeah.
Colleagues? Compadres?
I'm assuming they shared a locker room, so.
And a bath.
Probably seen each other's willies.
Seen each other's willies.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Look at the size of your tiny
Look at
willy.
The size of that. It's much bigger than mine.
You don't get many of them for the pound.
Real choppers. Penises, dicks, cocks. Sid, what are you doing in this film? Sorry.
I love The Running Man. It's my favourite.
What's your other favourite film, Sid?
Tag of the Otter.
Imagine if Sid loved Tag of the Otter.
I reckon he did.
I love that film so much, Bernie.
He might have liked Digby the Biggest Dog in the World.
Digby the Biggest Dick in the World. No, Sid. Sid.
It's got Sorry. Jim Dale in it.
Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah. Anyway, come on, let's get...
Yeah, so they fire on the crowd anyway.
Yeah.
And then they frame
and
Paul.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal. Women and or children.
Yeah. Cars.
Cars get shot. Yeah.
if this is the universe of cars, they've also murdered some cars.
Yeah, and they're probably electric cars as well, aren't they?
Yeah, they probably are.
Yeah. A few Boris bikes.
A few Boris bikes. Hopefully Boris riding them.
Good for London.
But he's framed.
Yeah.
And there's some good Arnie.
Yeah, he does this constantly throughout the entire film, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
And I only thought he ever did it in Total Recall, where he does a sustained
yeah.
when he's on the surface of Mars. But in this one, he does it about 82 times.
He does.
Which was that all done in post, do you think?
I reckon so.
It must have been done in post.
Yeah.
I wonder what is, you know, when he said, what's my motivation?
Yeah. Money?
Yeah. Oodles of cash? Lovely.
Anyway, so he's sent to the detention zone.
Yes, yes.
In Wiltshire, which I'm guessing is a satire because isn't Wiltshire in Los Angeles?
Los Angeles.
I don't know.
Which they've gone for this one. It's sort of half Blade Runner, half Butlins.
Yeah.
Look, they've gone for.
They have.
But nice matte painted background stuff, which is brilliant in the 80s, isn't it? Because they didn't have proper CGI, so that's lovely. I love all that.
Me too.
I've got to mention also off the top, just mention it quickly, the music already is stunning.
Harold.
Love the soundtrack.
Harold Flattenmeyer, it was called. The guy who did Beverly Hills Cop.
Well, you can tell I love it. It's absolutely wonderful. It's like an Atari is dry humping a synthesizer. It's lovely.
Yeah.
It's all all the way through. I love the ice. Is he called Iceman? Is that right? The first
Sub-Zero,
sorry. His theme is boom 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 boom. All done on that lovely cloudy synth. It's so beautiful. I love the soundtrack to this.
It's very good.
Yeah.
But you're sent to a detention zone. And it's one of those places they had in dystopian sci-fi where you'd have some sort of neck brace.
Yes, and you're wondering what on earth happens if you disobey the rules, and it's quite gruesome in this gaff.
Head blows up,
mate. That's it. No first or second chances. Just that's it. Head blown up, mate.
If you go beyond the perimeter fence,
your head blows up. And that again, I like the perimeter fence idea. There's no wires. There's no wall. It's just either the color red or green. And if it's red, that's it.
Well, there's neck bomb. You got neck bomb braces.
Neck bomb braces, ladies and gentlemen.
You could sing that to the tune of Camp Town Races.
Which we will do at the end of
the
show.
I think we should, yeah.
Released as a single.
And Arnie's now got a beard to show that time has passed.
And it seems to me that he's working in the fog mines. That's what I've written down here. They're just mining fog.
Yeah.
Because it's not really clear what it is, but there's lots of...
Which wasn't...
Farts! Sid.
Wasn't that the chock-a-block computer?
Oh, yeah, it could have been.
Yeah.
So they're mining for the chock-a-block computer. In the future.
Fred Harris is the leader of the owner of this dystopian.
Wow, so Fred's on charge in the tannoy.
Yeah.
I can't do a good Fred impression.
No.
Hurry up!
That's rubbish. But I'd imagine that's what you would say.
I need
to... What me bloody computer?
He wasn't even from where I thought he was from.
It worked, though. It's better than me doing it.
That's true.
But the guards have put a perimeter code into a computer in the full view of one of the prisoners.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a difficult code, isn't it? It's five digits.
Five digits.
Five whole digits.
I mean, this is before the chip and pin where you cover what you were typing in. It's on the screen.
So I just coughed off Mike.
That's fine.
Who was an incidental character in this film. Coughed off Mike.
Sadly, perished early on. But he's friends with Yaphet Kotto.
Yes.
Who's wearing a wig in this, by the looks of it. This funny hair thing.
He's got a lovely hair piece.
Yeah, and another guy with glasses. I can't remember the name. Sorry, everybody.
Sort of like, you know, Nerdy Joe.
Nerdy Joe.
Nerdy Joe.
Boffin.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just call him Nerdy Joe.
Yeah. Nerdy Joe, the Boffin man.
Nerdy Joe and Yaphet Kotto.
Solving crime.
Neck bone braces. Camp Town Races.
Neck bone braces, blow up your neck. Doo-da.
Yaphet Kotto's got to die.
Bang, 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 he's dead.
Too bloody right.
No one came to the funeral because of his wig. Anyway, yeah.
Betting
in the neck. Oh, Sid, all right, we've covered the neck bombs.
So Arnie and Yaphet Kotto have this kind of stunt fight.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah. And it causes enough of a disruption.
In the fog mine.
So Nerdy Joe can get to the code.
That's right. Yeah, it's all sort of...
So he can turn off the perimeter.
Pleasant distraction, yeah. Turn off the perimeter by inputting five digits.
Problem is, every time he tries to put in the five digits, it doesn't work.
It keeps resetting.
Because there's another guard with another computer set up on a card-playing table outside. The sort of thing you'd if you were having a poker night in an American sitcom.
So now it's just two blokes playing the equivalent of ice hockey in a little arcade.
Or battleships.
Yeah, just trying to beat each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they don't think to shoot the man who's manning the card playing
table.
No, and
they are heavily armed. Mm. They are heavily armed. But no, they want to use the futuristic headband collars, don't they? So,
but they manage to get it down for a second.
Yeah.
And one of the prisoners, just to show us what happens,
yeah,
is like, hooray, I'm free.
And they do warn him. Mm. They do warn him. And he goes, don't run that way. Mm. Stay with me. Or yeah. something like that. And he's like, no, I'm free. Ha, 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 ha. I'm slightly Hispanic.
Yeah.
And off he goes. Charging for freedom.
It is that man who's in everything as well, yeah. by the way, that yeah. Hispanic man.
Yeah, and it's in his contract to be the man who gets killed immediately in any films.
Yes.
Yeah. Even in films like Three Men and a Little Lady.
Yeah.
Lady? Three Men and a Little Lady.
That is the second one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I've never seen it. Why would you?
I've seen it.
I'll repeat my question.
They do
why
a rap.
Would you?
They do a rap.
Oh. I don't, I
it's the sequel to Three Men and a Little Baby.
I'd rather have my head blown up.
Well, this man.
No, I know it's a sequel, but I'm never.
Man chooses your option because rather than watching Three Men and a Little Lady, he has his head blown up.
Rather do that.
But they then take out the man at the card playing table.
Yeah.
And they manage to get away. And this is when they meet Mick Fleetwood.
And suddenly, Mick Fleetwood is in the film.
But it's actually Mick Fleetwood.
Yeah. And he's called.
I don't mean he's in it.
His character's called Mick.
His character's called Mick.
Yeah.
And he says, these are the people that burnt my music.
Yeah.
So he's playing Mick Fleetwood.
So we must presume from the scant information we've received that he's playing himself
yes.
in this film.
He's supposed to be Mick Fleetwood in the future.
So we don't really know where the rest of the band are.
I'm guessing
at
they're dead.
Stage. Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks got sent to the fog mine and didn't make it.
Probably inhaled it all.
Probably did.
She loved a bit of fog. Did our Stevie.
Didn't she used to inject stuff in her bumhole?
Fog.
I seem to remember
she used
reading.
To inject things into her bumhole?
I think... Oh, no, it wasn't that. It was coke. No, I won't go there.
Oh, no, it wasn't that. It was a wonderful charity work.
Sorry,
I got completely confused.
I'm guessing... what's his name? The singer. What was his name? Fleetwood Mac singer. I want to say it's not Justin Edinburgh. That was a footballer.
Justin Fashanu?
No, that was a footballer as well.
Jerry Adams?
No, that was the IRA guy.
No, okay. Julian Henn.
It was Julian Henn.
Julian Henn.
And the bass player, no one knows.
Yeah.
And Christine McVeigh. I guess they all get sent to the fog mines. And...
Well, they were contestants on The Running Man and have been destroyed, hence Mick. Actually, you probably wouldn't be that upset because they loathed each other all of Fleetwood Mac, didn't they, for many years.
I'm guessing that Mick broke away from Fleetwood Mac after the 1989 Brit Awards.
To go solo.
Yeah, when he did the Brit Awards with Sam Fox.
Sam, yeah. Whoa.
That is dystopian.
That's very dystopian.
And I've been on record many times about this, but I'd like someone to make a film about the 1989 Brit Awards and just tell me what happened. Because I don't know what happened.
You actually want a film? You don't want a documentary?
I'd like a documentary, but in the form of a film, so I can go and watch
right.
it. I want to know what happened, because
Who do you want to narrate the whole thing? Because it's got to have a certain gravitas. You don't want a sort of like a modern version of Charlie Drake. Ruining it for you, do you?
No.
Like Joe Pasquale doing it is just not going to have the oomph you require.
It probably would work in terms of the chaos that's going on screen, because I want to know what happened when you arrived at the point where you were like, Mick Fleetwood and Sam Fox to host the Brit Awards. That's like I know cocaine, as they call it at the time.
Cocaine.
Was prevalent at the time.
Right. You think that was the entire basis of all the decisions for that?
I think so. I mean, what the hell are they thinking?
Yeah.
Did Mick get it because of The Running Man?
What, like some sort of community service he had to serve? Mick, listen, the Brits were so bad.
Yeah.
You have to be in this Hollywood blockbuster film.
Well, this is pre-Brits.
Oh, dear, that'd be awful. Because that's what he sounds like in this.
He does.
He hasn't got the best acting chops, has he? But he's not as bad as I thought it would be. Because this is around about the time where... People like Bowie and Sting were going...
And Jagger.
Yeah, we're going, you know, so Bowie was going, oh, maybe I can do some acting. And so he's getting involved. Sting then smears himself all over Dune.
Yeah.
And upsets the whole bleeding debacle. And you're right, yeah, they all start getting involved. So, I don't know how Mick Fleetwood got involved in that.
Jagger's in Free Jack.
Yeah, he is, I know. And that's...
You can't get away from me, Furlong. You won't ever get to the boat. All right, Mick. I think Fleetwood does all right, you know.
This is Mick Fleetwood's only film appearance?
I think it is.
Yeah, it has to be, doesn't it? Yeah, okay.
Apart from Deep Throat. I mean All the President's Men, where he played Deep Throat.
Where he plays Deep Throat, yeah.
When he, he can only orgasm by giving away facts.
So we meet Mick, and Mick's like a technical boffin type. He starts removing the collars, doesn't he?
Yeah, he removes all their bomb collars for them.
Yeah, with tweezers and a screwdriver. Tweezers,
and he puts them in a bin and they blow up in the bin.
Yeah, well, bin?
Well, it kind of looks like a...
Looks like a coal scuttle.
Yes.
Throws them down a coal scuttle where they blew up.
Yes.
Yeah, boom, kaboom, they go.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
you immediately know, all right, this guy knows his onions.
Well, he seems to be in charge of this. They call it the underground.
That's right. So he's sort of resistance fighter with zero personality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's someone you'd really get behind.
Sort of like when you go out and you meet a home brewer and they want to talk to you about the process and you're like, oh, Christ, just let me try it.
What if he...
And then leave.
And if a home brewer said to you, look, we're putting together a resistance movement.
If a home brewer comes up to me and immediately he's got screwdriver and tweezers and he's trying to remove...
Your bomb collar.
My bomb collar. I'd be like, how dare you, sir? Leave my bomb collar where it is. That's my Brexit bomb collar, just in case.
But we get a bit of art leaking into real life here. Because
we do.
Arnie says that the truth hasn't been very popular lately.
That's a reference, of course, to
the third series of Rent-A-Ghost.
The third series of Rent-A-Ghost, of course. Yeah. Grievances against Mrs. Popoff. I don't like Mr. Mika.
There's a lot
Arnie.
There's a lot of Mika truthers out there.
Claypole deniers.
Of course, Claypole was murdered.
Oh, no, don't.
They don't want you to know that.
Don't tell me that.
He was. He died,
what,
didn't he?
In real life?
No, he died, but...
Oh, what, in Rent-A-Ghost?
No, in real life.
Oh, hang on, things are getting blurred.
Hang on.
In real life,
Timothy Claypole
got murdered.
No, he died. I'm just joking and saying he was murdered.
Could have happened though.
I know, I'm sorry.
Oh, don't.
Yeah.
So he's all right. He's dead, but he's all right.
He's dead, but he's all right.
He's dead, but he's A-okay.
He died of natural causes.
Oh, that's good.
As far as I know.
As far as we're all known.
Although he might have been silenced by the deep state. For dabbling with the occult. Maybe during one of his ghostly
adventures.
I heard
he liked tarot cards. All right, Arnie, doesn't matter. Crowley. All right, enough of your Aleister Crowley rubbish.
Arnie was a big fan of Aleister Crowley.
I loved him. He's a devil worshipper.
But Arnie has a great line here because Mick Fleetwood says, you could join our movement.
Yeah.
And then Arnie says, all I've seen is a bunch of low foreheads who think they can change the world with dreams and talk.
Talk. This is a very James Bond heavy quip film, isn't it, for Arnie? He quips almost every def, doesn't he, in relation to what's happened?
I was going
to
mention this later.
There's endless quips.
Arnie is all about quips, but I think here they are all shit.
They're not remotely funny.
Some of them don't even work.
I tell you what, he reprises this when he does the ill-judged and ill-served Batman and Robin film where he appears as Victor Freeze, I think he has 18 lines of dialogue and he got paid $1 million for every line.
That's right.
And every single one is a pun. And obviously once he's gone, everybody freeze, and he's covered that.
The Iceman cometh.
Iceman cometh. And then they start getting really tenuous, like Chilly Willy and it's just sleet you later. Sleet you later? What are you talking about? And there's one where he just goes, it's a cold town.
Yeah.
It's the best they can do at that point.
Ice cubing.
It's just...
Fridge freezer.
Blizzard to see you.
Zanussi.
Zanussi. The appliance of science. Yeah, anyway, so, yeah.
Chest freezer.
Ice cube tray. Well, what about it, Arnie? At least pummel it into a sentence or do something with it.
So the three prisoners at this point, Yaphet Kotto, Joe Boffin and Schwarzenegger, all split up. Schwarzenegger goes off dressed like he's going to go and work on a building site.
Oh, I just said Arnie and gang in disguise as the village people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's got his hard
hat. Bagsy's construction worker.
Yeah. With his Gold's Gym jumper, which I'm guessing was the gym he probably used at the time and it was an advert.
I'd imagine so. And they're all just getting on the backs of trucks going in various directions to different zones, I presume. Because it's the future, so it's zones.
It's probably zones, yeah.
Yeah, zones.
Zone 3.
Yeah. I got Oyster Card for Zone 4.
Can't go do Burnt Oak.
I live in Mud Chute. Don't say anything, Sid James.
Our size. Sid.
Had to go there, didn't you?
But well, then we meet Damon Killian.
Damon Killian.
Who is the basically in charge of the world.
Yeah, he's a TV exec stroke megalomaniac who's got connections with the government.
There's some great satirical lines in this later on, I think.
Yeah.
They really work.
Now, the guy who plays him, this is the first and probably last time I'd ever seen him. Has he, you'll probably know this. Has he been in other things?
He was a genuine game show host from the 80s.
There you go. And was it something like The Price is Right?
Because he says, come on down later.
Because they do ape that in the film, don't they? Okay.
Yeah, if I'm wrong, tell me. But
no,
yeah.
I thought you would know. So he's a genuine game show host.
Yes.
Okay.
I think he's really
good.
Brilliant.
Yeah, he's really good. Mm. He's genuinely oily, horrible. The first thing you see is him coming in with his entourage, chatting away, and there's no janitor who gets in the way. And he's like, oh, sorry, mate. Because, you know, he's from East London in Los Angeles.
Because he's
in
played
future.
By John Pertwee. Yeah.
It's going to be a little bit. And he falls on him like Wurzel Gummidge, which is frightening. But he just goes, ah, it's fine, mate. And then gets in the lift and says something like, make sure he's fired.
He says, if you don't fire him, you'll be cleaning the floor.
You'll be cleaning the floor. So we already know he's a nasty little swit.
And there's a problem. The Running Man is or was the greatest show in the world.
Yeah.
But the ratings have peaked. They haven't gone down.
No, they peaked.
They haven't gone up.
So, and we never really know what they peaked with. We don't know what happened before.
Well, I'd imagine from what happens later, this is a terrible show because no one seems to make it past the first stalker.
Yeah.
But we'll find out more about that later.
So I'm just trying to think who, you know, what was it? What reached the ceiling of the shows? Like, did they throw Tony Hart down there for doing a bad etching? Imagine Tony Hart. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to watch that, would you? Well, apparently they didn't like the gallery this week, so I'm going down there. Ah! Oh, Morph. Where's Mr. Bennett?
Here's our previous winners, Mr. Bennett.
Just a head being held up.
Oh.
So, yeah, I'm just trying to think, what was it that went on before Arnie that was their peak viewing? But obviously it wasn't Tony Hart.
No, it was Tony Hart.
Sister Wendy, down you go. Oh, fuck! Because I think she would swear if she was thrown down that tunnel.
I think we all would, to be fair.
I'd love to do that bit.
Yeah.
The tunnel bit, come on, that looks fun.
We were obsessed with tunnels in the 80s.
That looks
Slides
fun.
And tunnels.
Yeah, that looks fun. Yeah, so I wouldn't mind that bit.
Especially if it was a water park. Sister Wendy in a water park. That's a BBC series that they should have made.
And now on BBC Two, Sister Wendy's Greatest Water Parks. Well, it's 9 o'clock. It's BBC Two. It's time for Pat Coombs in Cunt. Only one series, of course, Pat Coombs Cunts. It's her wandering around going, well, this week I'm going to interview some cunts. Where am I this week? I'm in Rotherham. And guess what? It's full of cunts. Camera pulls back. Beginning credits.
Hinge and brackets. Bukkake.
Hinge and bracket going down into the... Oh, God. That's amazing. Damn, I've had any hinge. Ah! Who's the one who uses the with the glasses? It was either Hinge or Bracket. She'd be talking and she'd be cleaning her glasses. So she'd go, Evadne, why? Oh, yeah, Evadne, why don't we go down to the. Anyway, Hinge and Bracket being thrown into the.
In the running
into
man.
The zone. So I think we've now hit on what it was, John. Yeah. It was Tony Hart, Hinge and Bracket.
And Pat Coombs.
And Pat Coombs.
And Sister Wendy.
No, I think Sister Wendy should be a stalker.
And John Junkin.
I actually did very well down there. And so I became a stalker. And John Junkin, did you say?
Yeah. He's a stalker as well. Because
he
can
be a stalker.
Outwit people because he's the best crosswits player that ever lived.
Oh, God. Oh, so anyway, that's a whole new podcast in itself. People we would like to see put into the Running Man.
Lenny Bennett.
Oh, Bennett. Mm. Straight in. Ted Rogers.
Ted Rogers.
Down you go, Ted.
Dusty Bin would be a hell of a stalker. He could have, like, rocket launches and stuff.
I thought you meant Dusty Bin as a contestant.
No, it's a stalker.
No, in Dusty Bin, he gets stuck down the fucking slide, wouldn't he? He'd clog it up. Oh, imagine
No, he'd
that.
Be a stalker. He'd, like, he'd come out and they'd be like, oh, it's lovely Dusty Bin. And he'd have those, like, rocket launchers that come out the side.
Jim Bowen, down you go. Ooh, crikey. So Jim Bowen actually would be a stalker. He'd be Speedboat, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would.
Let's see what you're good at one. And he throws speedboats at you. He's got a catapult. It's really unwieldy.
Mm.
He, out of the stalkers, he's got the least confirmed deaths.
Can I say trebuchet?
You can.
Only because I like you.
Thank you.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry. I want to now talk about all people I'd like to see.
No, no. I do too.
Oh, God. Anyway, yeah, go on.
Anyway, so Arnie, at this point, he sneaked back to his brother's apartment where he's going to...
That's right, yeah. And his brother's going to help him get across to another zone or something. Yes. Something like that, yeah.
To Golders Green.
Yeah.
So he goes to his brother's apartment. He manages to get in with the same code, which is like if you moved out and then this key worked in the next place. I mean, for the next person.
Yes.
Doesn't seem to work for me, security-wise.
Can I just say, this is a bit that I wrote down, because at the beginning, because we don't know... it's just after Arnie's come in that the love interest stroke, conflict interest at the beginning happens. Mm. And we know it's the house of the future because she says things like, lights on, and the lights turn on. And she goes, kitchen on, and the kitchen turns on. And it reminds me of a really amazing Dave Allen sketch. Have you seen the Dave Allen sketch?
No.
Where the voiceover goes, this is the house of the future. And it's Dave Allen, and he walks around this house and he goes, settee, and the settee just appears out the wall and he goes, wow. And then he goes, drink. And then suddenly the wall opens and a little hatch and there's a thing of, you know, a whiskey. And he goes, television. And the television appears. He keeps going like, this, and it all appears. And then the last shot is him goes, well, bugger me. And then, no! And then the camera freezes because the house has actually sexually assaulted him.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me of that.
No, it's BBC policy from that era.
Anti-Beeb.
Dave Allen would be a great host if they did a UK remake of The Running Man.
Do you think?
He'd be a good Killian.
I don't think Dave would do it. I think he's got principles. Do you know who would do it, if genuinely, who would do it now?
Who?
Paddy McGuinness.
Oh, yeah, now.
He'd do it.
I just meant back in the day, in the 80s.
Yeah, but if it happened now, Paddy McGuinness.
Well, he'd do anything.
He'd fucking do it. I'd have him down that chute all fucking day. As soon as he got the bottom, load him back up, put him down again.
Mm.
This time, put poo in the chute.
You're a harsh man.
I am a harsh man when it comes to Paddy McGuinness. Mm. I'd have him up and down that chute all day.
Hello, I'm John Holmes, and yes, the last thing you need is another podcast that takes apart a television show and hacks through it like a cough going through a pensioner. Except wait, because this is the One Show, in which myself and my guests force ourselves to watch a week's worth of TV's The One Show and then analyse it all in far too much detail. It sounds like a terrible idea, and it is for us. But for you, it's entertainment gold that's all over a programme you yourself have no intention of ever watching. The One Show, every Tuesday and Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
At all, we mentioned Hello Hello earlier.
We did.
There's an Hello Hello line in this.
That's just us drinking in the...
In the pub, yeah, we always talk about Lolo. But Arnie says, I'm going to say this only once.
He does?
Yeah. Because he threatens Amber and he says...
I think that might have been a reference to the director with the take. I'm going to say this only once.
Oh, did you notice who directed this?
Yes. No, I didn't.
Starsky from Starsky and Hutch.
Yes, it is Starsky. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
I did see it and went, no. But then I was already baffled by Mick Fleetwood. So I was already in the middle of a... Previous. No.
Ooh.
So, yeah, it is. Yeah, Paul Michael Glazier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's amazing. Is that his only?
I think so, yeah.
Foray into...
I think he's done TV, but this is only movie.
That's just baffling.
What I did like, there's a little detail here. And we cut back to Killian's office.
Yes.
And because they're worried about it not being on the nose enough, there's a poster in his office for a programme called The Hate Boat.
The Hate Boat.
Soon
oh, yeah, because he mentions Gilligan's Island at another point as well, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the guy doesn't know what it is.
That's right. Yeah.
Gilligan's Island, you know.
And he goes, what's that? Stick him in the bloody chute as
but
well.
Killian's looking for a new contestant, a new champion.
Yeah.
Or a new contender,
and then
you like.
And then he just looks onto the telly news.
He says, hello, beautiful.
And it's just... it's just Arnie casually... sort of lumbering down some industrial scree.
Yeah.
And some slate or shale.
from the fog mine. But then he just goes, hello, beautiful.
And he does a good line here because he says, get me the Justice Department, Entertainment Division.
Entertainment Division.
I love that line.
It's nice, isn't it?
It's brilliant.
No, there's some lovely little sly corporate winks throughout this entire film, which is very funny.
And then he says, okay, get me the President's Agent.
President's Agent.
Brilliant.
Of course, Ronnie Reagan. It's all there, isn't it?
Yeah,
care to look beyond the bloody lines?
More so now. I'm guessing Trump's still got an agent.
I think he's got a series of doctors.
Or a Secret Service agent.
Yeah.
But Ben basically says to Amber, he uses her pass to buy a holiday on teletext.
That's right. That's true. He goes on CFAX and thinks, I'm going to Honolulu.
Yeah. We are both going now.
And yeah, it's all done by travel units.
Yeah, and she says, what if I say no? And he goes, I'm going to say please. And he lifts up the weight bench she's on.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he rips it out of the floor.
And she goes, okay then.
Doesn't he hold her throughout this scene mostly by her neck?
Yes.
And while he's travelling through the airport, it's the next bit we go to, he controls her by her neck.
He says, I can kill you like a chicken.
Snap you like a chicken's leg or something. Yeah, but he's always like literally steering her by her neck or picking her up by her neck. Even at the end when they triumph, they kiss and then he leads her into some sort of misty portal by her neck.
Mm.
Poor woman.
Maybe she, you know, I don't want to kink shame her. Maybe she likes that sort of thing.
I think it's Arnie that likes it.
We know what Arnie likes.
No, we know what Arnie likes.
But when they get to the...
Not much script.
No.
That's what Arnie likes.
There's a good line here, though, because she says, I get travel sick. This is a good thing, actually.
Yeah.
They've got two main actors who can't speak English properly. It's quite fun. it's quite chaotic. She says, I get travel sick. I get plane sick. I might throw up on you. And he goes, go for it. Because he's wearing this loud Hawaiian shirt. He says, in this shirt, no one will notice.
That's right. In fact, in the director's cut of this film, it actually says, turn subtitles on now between them. See, oh, that's what they're saying. Okay. Oh, that's good.
I wonder about this.
Plot.
Americans struggle at the best of time with non-American accents.
Yeah.
It's been quite tricky for these two.
Yeah, but somehow they get along.
Yeah.
Not at this stage. This is all... She loathes him at this stage, doesn't she? Mm-hmm. She's genuinely scared of him.
He would be. He's the butcher of Bakersfield.
Yeah, he's the butcher of Bakersfield, isn't he?
Yeah. But she hits him
In the noughts.
Yeah. And she says, hey, it's Ben Richards, the butcher of Bakersfield. And everyone goes, what?
Yeah. Sorry, what?
It's Ben Richards, the butcher of
Bakersfield. And then Arnie goes, it's Ben Richards, the butcher. Oh, hang on.
And then he makes a run for it and he's captured with a net.
He's captured by the security trawler men that work at the airport who are out tarmac fishing.
They use their new machine called the Nanette Newman.
I'd never put Nanette into the Seine.
No.
Ever.
No.
Could you in good conscience?
No, she's too precious.
Wait, Pat Coombs, I could quite happily see her go down there, but Nanette, not having it.
Oh, Irene Handel would be a good Killian, wouldn't she?
Oh, she'd be dear, in you go. Don't you know? You've been a right old naughty boy, haven't you? So down the chute you go to be killed.
It's horrible. I don't like it.
Oh, it's horrible, isn't it? What's going to happen to you?
So
he gets caught. Yeah,
he's captured, and then he Killian says, "I've pulled some strings." He pulls him into the studio, and he says, "You know who I am?" And Ben Richards goes, "Yeah, you're the asshole on TV." It's funny. I was going to say the same about you. Nice. And he basically says to him, look, you have to go on The Running Man or I'm going to get your two buddies that I've already captured.
Yeah.
I'm going to put them in instead. And you know they're weak and shit.
Yeah. And he immediately, out of a sense of duty to his buds in the fog mines, goes, well, I'd better bloody do it then, hadn't I?
Mm.
Yeah.
So then Amber, relieved that she's safe, sees on the news, fake news.
Doctored footage.
They say that Ben Richards murdered loads of people at the airport.
Did not happen.
No.
No, she was there. She did. Hit him in his noughts, as you clearly said.
As I said, yeah.
But he killed nobody. He killed nobody. And they show airport staff being murdered. Or been murdered.
Bin Laden.
Bin Laden, been dead and gone.
Yep.
So it's all bloody news people.
Yeah.
Bloody modern media.
But then we get one of my other favourite lines in the film. It's when Ben's being led to the Running Man game show.
Yeah.
This guy comes out and says, I'm your court-appointed theatrical agent.
Theatrical agent.
Amazing.
It's lovely, isn't it? It's lovely, isn't it?
And he talks him through what's going to happen.
The rules and
regs. Gets him to sign the contract and he says, here, use my back.
And Arnie shoves the pen right in his back.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and he goes, oh, and then runs away.
Yeah. And then we're shown, before Ben goes on the show, we're shown fake footage of the Bakersfield riots.
Yes. Now, hang on. Have we covered the criminal database? There's a bit where they go through a criminal database and they mention one of the criminals is called Baby Someone Lala and it's an actual baby.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is when they're looking before they find Ben.
That's before they find Ben. Yeah, sorry, I just actual have baby. To mention
You're
that.
Right.
That's a great guy.
So this is why the
Baby Face Lala, but it's an actual baby with a moustache on.
This is why the running man hasn't worked previously. This is why ratings are down because they're sending actual toddlers into the zone.
Oh, dear.
They're sending that little French guy that used to be on Eurotrash all the time.
I did mention a bit earlier about there would have been a junior version. So, yeah. Junior running,
oh,
boy.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Kind of like We Are the Champions, but they all shoot each other.
Boys being savaged.
Junior Kickstart, but they drive bikes into each other's faces.
Oh,
that
God.
Actually happened in Junior Kickstart, though, didn't it? With
yes.
Dougie Lampkin got a bike in his nuts.
That's not funny. He said laughing and laughing and
he
laughing.
He said, oh, this is just like the running man.
Just like the running man.
That was his actual words.
Last words.
Ducky Lampkin is still with us.
Yeah, but that's the last thing he's ever said, so he's been quiet ever since.
He's still riding his chopper.
Sid.
Sorry, I'll stop trying to do Sid James because I can't
yeah,
do
come
it.
On.
Yeah.
So,
Arnie's just about to be put in the game.
Yeah.
And Amber sees the footage of Ben butchering Bakersfield.
And realises maybe there's more to this man than meets the eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I should have trusted him a little.
And then we find out about the previous winners, Whitman, Price, her dad.
Yeah, who are in Hawaii or Honolulu again.
They're in Honolulu having a nice time. Now, this makes me think of the postcode lottery adverts. Because I'm convinced no one's ever won the postcode lottery.
Right, okay.
And I think that there's just a big vault somewhere full of dead bodies.
Is that what you think it is?
I think you go to
collect.
Is that
someone's knocking at the door?
Yeah.
Or them?
I think someone comes to your door and says, well done, you've run the postcode lottery. Come to our warehouse to pick up your money.
And they sign a disclaimer and get Fiverr to do it.
And then they go in there and you just get shot in the back of the head and they take your wallet.
So they've still got the money.
Yeah.
I see what you mean. Oh, that's a lovely idea.
Yeah.
It's a really heartwarming idea. I like that.
Yeah.
You've won £38,000, Madge.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's just in that shed there.
I'll go and have a look.
Oh, I'll go and have a look then, thunk.
Yeah. How much did you get? 58 quid.
See you there, book talking. It's fucking useless. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
But to all appearances, it looks like if you survive the running man, if you survive the zones, then you get to be pardoned and you get to be freed for whatever crimes you've done. Of course, we know at this stage that most of these crimes are all predetermined and they're all lies.
Yeah.
But you can win this game and you can live a life of luxury afterwards. So there is some sense of, oh, okay, yeah. Because, I mean, there are shows at the moment that go on. I mean, I remember seeing years ago there were shows in Russia where, genuine shows in Russia, where if there was one that was about people in Russia stealing a car, and if they could stay away from the police for a certain amount of time, they'd win the car. If they get caught, they got sent to prison big time, like as in 10, 20 years. And they would willingly do this just to win the car.
Bloody hell.
And that was real. And that was like 10 years ago.
Wow.
I'm saying that as a Dutchman.
Yeah.
That's how much I mean it.
That's an emphasis.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not so far from the truth, is it? Is it, kids?
No.
Is it, eh?
No.
Eh?
No.
Eh?
No.
This could happen now.
Yeah.
Well, it happened 2 years
Ten
ago.
10 years ago.
2 years ago, 2017, didn't you say?
You said, oh, this.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the Russian game
show. Oh, no, the Russian game show was in 2007 in Running Man 10 years ago.
Right. Okay.
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 Fine with that.
So then.
John Craven, would you be happy with him in the zone?
Yes.
You'd be happy with that?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about Craven. I'm on the fence with Craven.
What about Keith Chegwin?
Oh, do you know what? I wouldn't even dignify him with a chance of going down there.
He'd be a good stalker because he could throw discs at you.
Or he could steal your material.
Oh, you shouldn't speak ill of the dead, even though that's exactly what he did.
He did.
And then he blocked everybody who said, hang on, you've just stolen my junk.
Hang on, Hitler wrote that, blocked.
Well, you're dead now.
Some of Hitler's great material as well.
And he fell asleep in a bowl of soup once.
Hitler or Chegwin?
Chegwin. Hitler Chegwin. Might have done.
Goddamn soup.
After he shot himself.
Thank God for the croutons. They kept my face floating in the broth. Chegwin fell asleep in a bowl of soup?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because he was drunk.
Oh, okay.
That's when he had his drink problems.
Yeah.
When he was married to Maggie Philbin and they were doing Brown Sauce, which isn't heroin. No, it was the name of their band. They were in with Noel Edmonds. Did Noel Edmonds play any instruments in Brown Sauce, do we think? In the videos, he plays drums, but not very convincingly.
He probably played the cymbals or the maraca or something really token.
Because Chegwin's going for it. Like, this is his number one chance to be famous.
Right, this is him. His
Phil Bin's not even pretending to play bass, so she's not involved. And maybe she's doing some singing. But Edmonds is just there. I don't think he did anything on the records.
Backing vocals? No.
I don't think so.
Nothing.
I think he just wanted in on the
action.
Maybe
he produced.
He probably said, look, check him in. You're mine.
Yeah, I own you.
I am in brown sauce, whether you like it or not.
I am brown sauce.
Without me, you're just ketchup.
Oh, God. Can you imagine? Like Empire Strikes Back. I am brown sauce. No! Down the chute. Down goes Cheggers.
Naked.
And the first person he has to see is Pat Coombs. She's armed. She's ready to go.
I've got some bookmarks here with your fucking name on them. Fling, fling.
I don't know if Pat Coombs, that would be her method of death, but I can imagine it would.
Do you think she was a fan of brown sauce?
I bloody hated it. It's rubbish. I prefer cocaine.
All right, Pat.
Loved a bit of Charlie.
Do you think she did? Do you think any of those old people like that David did cocaine?
I think they did, but I think some knew exactly what it was, but I'd imagine others thought it was some sort of tonic or tincture. Or,
oh, have a bit of this. This'll keep you pepped up for the show.
And they didn't really realise what they were doing. Back when you could, like, you know, years ago where Harrods were selling it, you know, legitimately as a pep. So I'd imagine some of them did it and didn't really realise what they were doing.
Do we think Sid James died of a speedball heroin cocaine overdose, like John Belushi?
I think what killed Sid James was once he drank water for the first time.
And that was it.
His body rejected it. He managed for like 58 years of never ever having a sip of water. Then he finally had one. His poor body couldn't cope. He famously took all the ice out of his glasses.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so...
But when Arnie gets to the stage to be sent into... God, we haven't even got in the game yet. It's 50 minutes gone.
Mind you, the bulk of the film is actually getting to the game.
That's true.
It's almost half the film is...
But when
he gets
there to be sent down the chute...
Down the chute.
He is double-crossed because his two buddies are brought out anyway.
Yeah, so he was originally promised, look, you'll go on the show because as your buddies are for it, and then hesitantly agrees, and then suddenly he's in there and his buddies are bloody being thrown down there as well. Mm. And Arnie is not happy about that.
He is not.
He says something like, you bloody rotter.
Yeah.
Or words of that effect. And then, of course, we get the, I'll be back.
Yeah, which became his catchphrase.
Now, is this the first time it's ever uttered?
No, Terminator.
It's Terminator, isn't it? Yeah. So Terminator came before. So
yeah.
I was confused and I thought, should I research it? I went, no, I'll just wait for John to correct me.
I don't think he says it in Predator, but he says it in everything else.
No, yeah. And of course, you get the best ever response, only in a rerun.
Yeah.
And that's a lovely line.
It's a great line.
That is such a good line.
The way he delivers it as well, he doesn't say it straight away. He thinks about it for a second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's all off camera, so the audience don't hear it. It's a little thing between them both. And this is that only in a rerun. Mm. It's really sort of off the cuff. You mean nothing to me, mate. It's really nasty. It's really good. And nowadays, of course, Arnie, it wouldn't be I'll be back, would it? It'd be owe me back.
Yeah, owe me back.
It's the best he could do now. Looked at me with disdain when I said that.
Yes,
I did.
Yeah, I did.
That's a disdain.
Meanwhile, Amber has, because she thinks something's amiss here, so she goes and looks in the archives.
I don't know how she gets in or she's allowed to.
Well, she works
part
at the station.
Of the dancing. She mentions dancing at one point. So
no, she works at the station.
She works at the station, okay.
Yeah, she puts packages together for the station or something.
Oh, okay. Because we've skimmed over the bit where Arnie gets led through and she sees him and then we have that horrible scene with her mate who goes, oh, he's horrible. I bet he could rape you.
She said, oh, you're lucky he didn't beat you.
Beat you or rape you. And then she...
Or kill you.
Kill you. And
or
then,
rape
or
you.
Or rape you. And then she gets a bit excited about the whole thing.
And then she says, I'll kill you, then rape you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Because she wouldn't say that about Craven if he was being led down there, would you?
Certainly wouldn't. You'd say, well, he looks like a nice man.
Looks like a really good egg.
Yeah.
Imagine poor old Tony Hart being dragged down there. You're not going to go, God, imagine if he drew you being raped.
Slattery.
Stuck that on the gallery.
Imagine Slattery being on the Running Man.
Oh, beggar's belief.
He'd be good.
He would be good.
He'd smooth his way out of that zone.
Do you reckon he can? He'd just slide through.
He would.
Yeah, just by good grace and quips.
He'd be improvising because he's good at improvising.
He's good at improvising.
He'd improvise his way out.
Yeah, he could do that.
Him and Mike McShane would be excellent in there.
Yeah, they would be very good.
Yeah. Amber's looking at the raw footage
Yes. Well, there's a brilliant bit where she opens up the future cupboard and there's all these sort of like floppy disks with, and they've got things written on them like, oh, what was it? I wrote some of them down. It is something like naughty things and things we've done and shh, don't tell anyone.
Pat Coombs. Didn't she have a show called Raggy Doll or something?
The fucking Raggy Dolls. Yeah. That was it. Mm. Hello, you cunts. It's me, Pat Coombs, with me fucking Raggy Dolls.
Which led on to Rosie and Jim.
Led on to Rosie and Jim, of course, yeah.
Rosie and fucking Jim.
We used to say, because we were students and stupid, the lines used to be Rosie and Jim, Rosie and Jim, and Tug steers the boat.
Right.
And we used to say Rosie and Jim, Rosie and Jim, and Tug fears the goat.
And that was enough.
I just like the idea of that Tug was scared of goats.
That's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
I wanted to think that it meant he was scared of Satan.
I remember years ago when I first watched 24.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to watch it with one of my comedy partners, Mr. Dan Mersch. We lived together at the time, so we both didn't have any work. So we just watched 24, 24 hours a day.
Of course.
And there was a character in it called Grem. And every time someone mentioned his name, Grem, we would both immediately go, Grem, Crem, Crem Egg. And that there was no rhyme or reason to it.
No, no.
And it got to the point where we had to do it. And we weren't even laughing at why we were doing it. We just automatically had to do it, like a Pavlovian response.
Yes.
So it makes perfect sense about goats and
Tug fears
Rosie
the goat.
Yeah. So, yeah. So
So Arnie's sent down with all his friends down to the zone, and a woman in the crowd, because they go to the crowd and say, who do you want the stalker to be?
And they're all shouting out people, aren't they?
Yeah, they've all got fans of different stalkers. She chooses Sub-Zero.
Sub-Zero. It's also worth mentioning, just before he goes down the chute, that they rip off his sort of horrible clothes to reveal that the contestants must go into the zone dressed as Quality Street Rappers.
Yep, Adidas Quality Street Rappers.
Adidas
as well.
Quality Street Rappers. That's the thing.
So he'd gone down as a toffee penny.
One had gone down as a Rasmi Ruffles. He knew he was going to die.
He's going to die.
Because even in Star Trek terms, if you go down in a red shirt, that's it. You're gone.
I'm disappointed he didn't choose the green triangle because they're the best ones.
Yeah, the best ones.
But then again, they go fastest.
Yeah, so they'd be killed quickest.
The toffee penny is always there at the end of the tub, isn't it?
Do you think? No, I'd go for the toffee penny.
I always find that
it's the Rasmi one I would leave.
Oh, the Rasmi you'd leave.
And the coffee one.
But then again, you'd give the Rasmi away because you don't like them.
What, so you give it to another show? Oh, you should give it to the show where they have to climb up the rope and not be killed by dogs.
Oh, yeah.
In the canon of this film, because they show a clip of a hilarious other show, which is called Climbing for Cash. Climbing for Dollars. And it's just a guy desperately trying to climb a rope while some Dobermans are underneath him. And then he just gets sprayed by poison fog.
It's interesting because this is the same year as RoboCop.
Right. It's got such a similar feel
to it.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Very on the nose Reaganite TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I also wanted to point out that Jesse Ventura in this is brilliant.
Yeah.
Captain Freedom. He's great.
He's amazing.
His workout video at the beginning was really funny because at one point he just says, that's the ticket, no pain, no gain. And then the next minute he runs past and goes, he stops to the camera, thinks for a second and just goes, rah, and runs off again.
Are you ready for pain? Are you ready for suffering? If the answer is yes, then you're ready for Captain Freedom's workout.
Yes, it's America's own Captain Freedom.
That's the ticket. No pain, no gain.
So, when you hear the tone, control your jealousy and leave your message.
That's amazing.
He's the most nuanced of the stalkers and weirdly the most underused, isn't he? Which is a shame. But you really get the sense of corporate America and him behind the scenes, and you know he's got Keep Fit videos and God knows what. And also he's got that thing where he genuinely believes in what he does is a good thing. He's a good all-round American guy, which is really hilarious.
So, he doesn't want to wear all the costumes.
It's all beneath him in a weird way. He wants it pure and simple, which we find out later he just wants to have a fist fight.
The rules of gladiatorial combat.
Yeah. He doesn't like the gimmickry of it all.
No.
Because basically, once they've gone through the idea of the elements on this thing, then they're completely buggered. Yeah. Once you've done fire and ice, then it's electricity. Oh, Christ, what can we do for Earth? Nothing. All right, he throws clods of peat at you. I don't know. Because it's basically really simple element-based things in this.
You need more than four or five stalkers, don't you? You need some reserves. So you need like a Jockey Wilson. You need Robin Hood. You need...
Well, what does he do? He robs you of your life.
No, he fires arrows at you.
Oh, okay.
And Jockey Wilson fires darts at you.
Well, they're far too similar.
Yeah, it's true.
Can't have those two in the same.
Just Jockey then, because he's got...
Pick the, one, John. For
Jockey
God's
Wilson,
sake.
Because he's got the charisma.
All right.
And I'd want... I want one who bowls bowling balls that blow up at you.
Well, I would... I want just really random ones like... Porcelain Greg. And he will kill you with a variety of porcelain items. He's got a porcelain suit on as well. So he just teeters around going, watch the suit, watch the suit.
This is Ming. This used to be a Victorian puddle jug. Oh, hairline crack, I'm off the show. Fuck it. This is... Hands off me Wedgwood helmet.
So there's got to be some more. It's a bit like Gladiators. There's got to be some shit ones as well.
Dinosaur Bill,
you know, exactly. Yeah, but Bill, the problem is that you went as one of the veggie ones, you see. It wasn't threatening.
No, he just throws dinosaur toys at you.
Oh, he just throws dinosaur toys at you. Or really old expensive fossils. Don't throw them. They're really expensive.
Heroin overdose Simon.
He just
overdoses on heroin.
Just slowly sucks your bank account dry.
Steals your video steals while you're on the show.
Steals the clothes off your back and disappears. That's his job. But you want people like... Because I was going to actually ask you. I was going to ask you, if you had to be a stalker, who would you be in it?
What, the one that's already established?
No. If you could be a stalker in this. Because I've decided I would genuinely be paper cut.
Mm.
And I basically dress as a giant piece of A4. Mm. And I just run past you and just... It's tiny little paper cuts. Mm. It takes a long time. I've had no confirmed kills.
Mm.
But I really annoyed every contestant.
I'd be...
That's what I'd do.
I'd be sandpaper.
Sandpaper.
Yeah, so I'd come out with one of those. I'd come out with two of those industrial sandpaper things,
right?
That go.
Yeah. And rotate and revolve.
Yeah, and I'd take your skin off you.
Oh crikey!
Mm.
Ouch. Mm. Fair enough.
Is that right?
No, it's just chilling.
It is chilling.
Well, mine's tiny paper cuts just annoy your life. Yours is out there.
Yeah, but I'd get more ratings than you, wouldn't
I? No, you're up. Listen, the reason why I went for paper cut is because I just want to get off that bloody stalking treadmill. Just get me a desk job.
Or I'd be like Convoy Bill, right?
What's that?
I'd have a giant rig truck and I'd just drive around running people over. And I'd never have to get out of the car.
The other one I like to be is Toby Jug. And my name's Toby, and I'm dressed as a jug, but I've also got a Toby jug, and I throw contents over you. Now, sometimes they could be nice contents, like money or butterfly wings, but sometimes it'd be acid or shit or shitty acid. But that's Toby Jug!
They need more.
They do need more. They do need more because they've just got the basic, as we say, the basic elements, and then no one else covered. Come on.
I hadn't thought about them being elements before.
Yeah, they're elements, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, shall we go to our first talker? Because I think
Sub-Zero.
Sub-Zero, who's a doctor.
He's a
doctor.
Professor, I think.
Oh, he's a professor? Yeah. I'm sure they say doctor.
And the actor is a professor as well.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, he's a professor in Kills. He comes out playing ice hockey.
Yes, he does.
Which I don't think he naturally does, by the looks of it.
Well, you know, yeah, he's got the demeanour of a sumo wrestler, isn't he? He's a big, hefty... Let's face it, they're all huge.
Yeah, they're all huge.
They're all huge in this.
But his plan is to hit them into goals.
Hit them into goals. Well, that's playing with them, isn't it? Mm. Literally, yeah. Mm. So it seems to me that the first zone has... So this guy's hidden behind cameras going, right, we need to get the ice done.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... There's a lot of admin in this.
I think it's Prince
show.
Edward.
It's Prince Edward. It's under Royal Knockout.
Yeah.
Prince Edward. Oh, fuck, they've slashed his head off.
There's a bit, if you watch after the credits, he comes out.
Yeah.
Not like that. He comes out at the end and says, so what did you think of it? And everyone goes, it wasn't very good. And he goes, right, fuck off then, and storms out. That's what he did after it to Royal Knockout.
Wow. Can you imagine?
He stormed out of his own press conference because everyone said it was rubbish.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah.
And I know the captains have enjoyed themselves. I only hope that you've enjoyed yourselves. Have you? Well, thanks for sounding so bloody enthusiastic. What have you been doing in here all day? Have you been watching it?
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
Thanks.
I thought it was great.
He's morphed out.
So yeah, so the first contestants are now on a giant ice rink.
Giant ice rink. They don't notice either.
They don't notice them. Yeah, and they don't fall over immediately.
Like you would.
Yeah. Well, you would. You're on ice. Mm-hmm. God damn it. And then he sort of comes out of mist and vapour, doesn't he?
That's the fog they're making earlier.
That's the bloody fog mines for you, isn't it? Yeah. That's where they're getting it from.
Yeah.
Fog costs. So he just appears sometimes out of nowhere, and he's toying with them, and he's sort of playing. He's basically using them as a human puck.
Mm.
And yeah, he lobs one in the goal, doesn't he?
He does.
He gets locked in as a trap.
Nerdy Joe goes in there
and he's like, oh, craps. But he settles down because, you know, he's going to die soon.
Yeah.
So then we get the other two being, you know, they're all fanning around trying to escape.
Oh. Well, Yaffa Koto gets sliced.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, he gets a slice. But at the time, you don't think much of it. You just think, you're going to get sliced.
Yeah.
So, Arnie gets knocked out
with an exploding puck.
That's right, exploding puck. So this is, again, we got the James Bond quips, and now we've got James Bond-esque Q gadgets, exploding pucks.
But he kills him with a barbed wire fence around his neck.
And that's really...
And then pulls it tight.
Yeah, that's quite gruesome as well. Yeah. It happens very quickly.
And then he comes up with the first shit joke.
Shit joke, which is...
He says, here's Sub-Zero, now Plain Zero.
Yeah.
Hey, Killian! Here's Sub-Zero! Now, Plain Zero.
When I was a kid, I didn't get that.
No.
It doesn't immediately jump out at you.
No, he's nothing. Would be even slightly better, and that's shit. Yeah. Now he's a fat, dead bitch. Arnie.
But then you get the better joke later. He says he was a real pain in the neck.
Pain in the neck, yeah.
No. It's not a great joke.
But it's better than the one he came up with off the cuff that should have been the star joke, yeah. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
But then we cut back to the game and everyone's very shocked and saddened.
Yeah, and it's a genuine reaction as well, because obviously you find out that this is possibly the first time ever that a stalker has been killed.
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh my word.
Craven nearly did it once.
I tell you, got close, Jan Leeming.
Bloody
once.
Hell.
Yeah. Once. Very close. But she couldn't do it. She didn't have the heart. And then, of course, they blew it to fucking bits.
It's terrible.
Terrible.
But next, the audience then have to pick their next stalker. And the guy goes, I can't decide between Buzzsaw or Dynamo.
So Killian goes, I'll tell you what. Why not have them both? Going to keep the ratings up. Everyone got to keep the ratings up. And they just had one of them killed. So come on.
Dynamo is basically the go-compare man after Brexit.
That's exactly pretty much what I wrote. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I just said, yeah, all right, yeah. We don't need to cover it because you've said what I wrote. Yeah.
And Amber is then, she was captured looking at the raw files.
Yeah.
And she's then sent into the game.
Yeah, as an extra added surprise.
And they tell everyone lies about her. The bit that makes me laugh the most is it goes, she had sex with up to 3 men in one year.
And then she
doesn't react. And then it goes, and she was lovers with Ben Richards. And she goes, yeah, sure, make up lies about me. I quite enjoyed that joke.
But again, it's that lovely sort of Orwellian, well, no, it's not even Orwellian, but just that idea of the moral code, which is hilarious. Mm. So she slept with 3 men in 1 year. How dare she? Yet we're all supporting a show where let's kill people for fun and entertainment. Yeah. It's really, I love all that. It's brilliant.
It is Trumpian, though.
Yeah,
isn't it?
We have to mention at some point, but this is fucking Trump all over, isn't it?
Yeah.
It reminds me, have you ever seen, I think it's called We Are All Diseased or You Are All Diseased by George Carlin?
No.
It's a stand-up, I think maybe he did 2 more and then he died, but he's got this amazing 40-minute routine where basically he presents the idea of the running man, really, which is he takes the 4 worst states in America, puts a wall around the whole thing, and then puts all the worst criminals in the world in every state, and then every 400 million miles there's one door where they can go into each other and fight, and it's all televised and it's all paid for by Coca-Cola, and there's a sort of Coca-Cola Pepsi reference in this.
Cadre Cola,
which is advertised, and it really reminds you of this thing. I think it's from We Are All Diseased or You Are All Diseased. It's well worth checking out because he basically does a 40-minute routine about what the running man is, you know, essentially.
Mm.
It's really funny, and it is. And this is, but really, you know, the running man had done it before. So, yeah, it's
it's fun to enjoy and take the piss out of it all, but the real deep down notion of this film is horrible to the repugnant to the point of mania. But we mentioned Trump because we're sort of getting there.
Also, this is, we haven't mentioned, this is a Stephen King novel.
Yes.
Written as Richard Bachman.
Why are all the short stories by Stephen King so good?
So good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe because they're the ones that took the less effort to write.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe if he just writes down one word, it'd be the best film in the world.
Yeah.
Just writes down pig.
It's a bit funny how the Stephen King went through this period where everyone was just slagging him off all the time.
Yeah.
Yet he's written some of the most incredible stories.
Yeah, it was quite sort of in vogue to loathe him, wasn't it, at one point? And now it's complete opposite. It's like, oh, gosh, he's one of our sort of, modern day Edgar Allan Poe of his time.
And he hates Trump as well.
Oh, loathes him.
I wonder if he ever thinks, running man.
Pat Coombs. I think he thinks that daily.
I think he does.
He does.
But at this point, Boffin Joe,
Nerdy Joe,
says, hang on. The uplink towers.
Satellite arrays.
They're all pointing towards the zone.
Yeah.
So there's something going on here.
Yeah, because it's been televised, Nerdy Joe. He's like, well, I might be able to do something like that with me nerdy ways.
But Arnie's like, no, what are you talking
about?
Get
to the next zone.
I'll stick it up your ass.
And also, what are you doing here, lady who betrayed me?
Yeah, she turns up.
She turns up like, don't kill me. Listen, hear me out. I know I betrayed you, but I'm in it with you now. So pick me up by the neck and take me to the next zone.
Mm.
And that's exactly what they do, not knowing that they got two blooming stalkers coming down now.
Yeah, well, Buzzsaw arrives.
Buzzsaw's genuinely frightening.
Actually, I should point out that Yaphet Kotto didn't get sliced earlier. He gets sliced now by Buzzsaw.
That's true, yeah.
Buzzsaw arrives, he slices Yaphet Kotto.
Who's a proper psycho, loony. He's got like mad rabid dog's eyes, tiny dots.
Basically steroided up to the tits.
When he turns up outside the studio, he picks up a motorbike and throws it and everyone's like, woo!
Yeah.
And his thing is literally he's just got a big saw.
Yeah.
And that's what he likes to do, just literally saw people in half.
Yeah. So him and
Dynamo.
Dynamo.
Dynamo's amazing.
What the fuck is he?
He's my favourite stalker.
Is he?
Because it's so unwieldy, ridiculous, hard to maintain. You basically go around in a giant, great, souped-up Sinclair C5 shooting electricity bolts out of a suit that if it even gets in contact with the word moisture will short-circuit immediately and kill you. How has he been a stalker and survived for that long? He's so fucking huge as well. He's been literally poured into this suit of armour.
That car, I don't think he'd even get out of it.
He can't get out of it. Not without assistance. He needs a ramp.
And then he crashes and he's lying there going, oh, God, help me.
But also before that, his thing is to sing German opera. Yeah. It's amazing. So he's bound to see the whole life. That's hilarious.
Yep.
I love all that. I love the sort of hoopla around him.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Because Buzzsaw doesn't have any hoopla apart from just being an absolute lunatic psychopath.
Yep.
But the idea that Dynamo's slightly cultured.
Yeah.
Because he sings a bit of opera as he electrocutes people.
But Nerdy Joe... He goes with Amber and they find the uplink.
To the satellite array and they're going to stick in the
code. It's got a hexagonal decode system.
Yeah, that's their fuckers they are.
Yeah.
They are fuckers.
But just as he gets all the codes and he tells Amber to remember the
numbers.
Codes, he gets electrocuted by Dynamo.
Yeah, kills him.
Arnie kills Buzzsaw.
But also, isn't that best ever? How do they do the electricity? It's amazing. It's proper, beautiful special effect.
Optical effect, cartoon.
It's so well, but it's beautiful. It's better than CGI stuff.
Mm.
It's so good. I love all that.
Mm.
It just looks great, the way it just sort of shimmers around the body and stays there. I know it's all, but it must be painstakingly done and it just looks stunning. I love all that old-fashioned shit. It's so good.
But Buzzsaw and Arnie are having this competition with a chainsaw.
Yeah, that's
Buzzsaw
really
says,
vicious.
This saw is part of me and I want it to be part of you. And Arnie says, no, you keep it, and cuts him in the balls.
Yeah, he goes balls first. Mm. Yeah. And you would think that this would be the ideal time to do a balls first quit, but he doesn't.
He alludes to it later.
He does, yeah.
But to attract Dynamo's attention, he shouts not his best quips in the world. Hey, lighthead, Christmas tree. And then he gets Dynamo to chase him.
In his souped-up Sinclair C5.
Duncan Norville voice.
Chase me.
Chase me. And the car drives up a hill, then collapses on itself.
It goes up a small verge.
Yeah.
And then collapses. Like the Sinclair C5.
Yeah.
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 And then Dynamo's stuck.
And he's saying, oh, God, help me. And then Arnie says, I won't kill a helpless human being. Not even a sadistic creep like you.
And then doesn't kill him.
No.
He's got this big metal girder and you think he's going to smash it through him, but he refuses to do it.
They run off and then Amber says to him, what happened to Buzzsaw? And then he says, oh, he had to split.
He had to split. Mm. Yeah. Which is
it's probably the best joke.
Bond has done that one as well, hasn't he?
Might split. Have done. Don't think so.
Really?
Never cut anybody in half.
Split? What about with, oh, well, there's the Saw yo-yo in Octopussy, but then he wouldn't make a quip about his mate being killed.
No, that would so be, he was a tennis player, that would be horrendous.
Well, it looks like it was 15 love. That doesn't even make sense. He had to split. Why would you say that about your friend? Silly fuckers cut in half. Roger.
I'm glad he's dead.
I'm glad he's dead.
He was ruining the film.
I've got first dibs on his apartment in New Delhi.
That'll keep me in curry.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
So yeah. They're going to take the... They decide they're going to take the uplink code to Mick Fleetwood.
To Mick Fleetwood.
I want to know at what point you arrive in the script, you're like, right, we need someone as a saviour. Mick Fleetwood.
I was genuinely surprised that Mick Fleetwood is back again.
Yeah.
I just thought, well, that's it. He's in that bit. We all go, what the fuck?
And then they find Yaphet Kotto, who is dying. And yes. Yaphet Kotto goes, you have to take the code. And then he says, do it. I don't want to be the only asshole in heaven.
Oh, God. Oh, dear.
And then the running man game is they're all sad that they've lost. Well, Dynamo's down and Buzzsaw's dead.
Yeah, but also the audience get furious that Dynamo isn't killed. There's a moment where they're like, boo, kill him. Yeah, that Roman thumb up, thumb down thing.
Yeah.
They're like, no, you must kill, you must kill. But of course, now the audience are learning themselves, aren't they?
So Killian goes on a closed circuit to Arnie and says, look, you know, I'll make you a stalker.
Yeah, he realises that he's got some good potential. And also, this is the first time that he's had stalkers die on him in his show. So he thinks, what better way to maybe control this beast, this behemoth that I've created, is to make him part of the show. But Arnie, of course, has got a moral code and goes, no.
Mm.
Hang on, how much? How much did Coombs get? She got free knitting and a wagon wheel. I'll do it.
He smashes the camera and then they go and find... and then Fireball is called up as the last stalker to go in.
That's right, yeah.
And an old lady, Agnes, stands up and she says...
Best bit of the film.
So who are you going for, Angus? Who do you think's going to get the next kill?
Yeah.
She says...
What does she say? Wrong.
I think it'll be Ben Richards.
And Jack goes, now come on, now you're getting a bit confused. You must go for a stalker. Who's it going to be?
And she goes, who I like.
Yeah.
And I think it's Ben Richards. And then she does that classic 80s trope of an old lady saying, I think he's a bad motherfucker.
And we all go, oh, bless her.
Oh, she likes people dying.
She's done a sweary. Yeah.
I also enjoy
I also don't like the Jews. Take her off air. Take her off air.
And that would be...
Not so keen on Hispanics and blacks. Take her off the air.
That would be acceptable in
this
dystopian future.
Yeah, absolutely. But
they give her own show on Fox. I also enjoyed Arnie saying, I won't kill a helpless human being just after murdering a man with a chainsaw. Yeah. and then in a few minutes' time, he murders a helpless human being who's covered in petrol. But never mind. We'll skate over that.
And again, what's he called?
Fireball.
Fireball. He's got unwieldy tech as well.
Yeah, he has.
Because not only has he got to deal with his flamethrower, but he's also got a jet propulsion tank that he flies with.
Yeah.
He must be carrying a lot of weight.
Mm.
I presume he must have a back brace at least to carry all that.
And, I tell you, he'd melt steel beams, wouldn't he?
Wouldn't he just?
Wouldn't he?
Because you see him flying from outside, don't you?
Yeah.
And there he goes into zone four slowly. Mm. There he goes.
Bet he cost him a fortune. That's probably why they don't use him very much.
Yeah. He must be the most expensive. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, Dynamo's car's probably running electricity, so that's fine.
Yeah, it's self-propels that one.
Basically a milk float, isn't it?
Self-propelling that one. He just charges it himself. He sticks his dick in the socket.
Oh, there's also a good line here when Amber says, oh, I should have gone to Hawaii with you.
Yeah.
And he says, I had the shirt for it, but you fucked it up. Enjoying that. And so at this point... they run into the previous winners.
Yes.
Whitman, and, Price, her dad.
They're dead.
They're all skeletons.
They're all skeletons, and they have dog tags to let you know that they're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've all been burnt and burnt and burnt.
Yes.
So I presume this is all by Fire Star, whatever he's called.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Because they haven't been head... They haven't had their heads removed.
Well,
they've been buzzsawed. They're just burnt.
Before Firestar goes out there, he gets a phone call from someone saying, "Why are you so shit?"
That's
ongoing live.
One of the stalkers is Matt Bianco. It's fantastic. Bianco! Yay! What's your power, Bianco? Shit songs. Off you go then.
He wakes up lazy heads.
Yeah, oh, very good. Yeah. Very good. Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But basically, cut a long story short, Arnie kills Fireball by blowing him up.
Yeah, it's the way that Arnie kills all these people is just a sort of mixture of opportunity and luck, and also the fact that he has to, you know, the film has to go on.
I'd say the Fireball killing's a bit of cunning because he hides in the rafters.
Yes, that's
and
right.
As he walks past, he pulls out the petrol.
Pulls out one of the things, and then but the panic on poor old Twisted Firestarters.
Yeah.
He immediately goes, oh, me bloody fuel. And then he's up like a bloody Roman candle, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Well, Arnie throws a flare at him and blows him up.
That's right.
Because he doesn't kill helpless human beings.
Yeah, he doesn't, know. And what does he say?
Need a light.
Oh, need a light. Okay.
Yeah.
Need a light. He doesn't need a light. He's already had one. You should have said lighten up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway. Then as they walk away, Arnie says, "What a hothead." Yeah. And
looks like his back pain flared up. No, you can't, Arnie. It doesn't work. No. I know you've used a flare, but don't introduce that as. Sorry.
I was glad you got a warm reception. That's why in Jamaica, then.
What a hot little cunt. Arnie!
Leave my roots in the running man.
Oh, God. Noel Edmonds also would probably present it.
He would be
willingly.
Perfect.
Yeah.
He'd also help kill people. He'd fly over on a helicopter.
He'd actually go, "I tell you what, before we even send you down to shoot, slit your throat. Now send him down." No, they're all dead by the time they get to the bottom.
Just ask that poor fella in the...
See you after part two.
The late night breakfast show.
Oh.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So they get a call at the studio, Captain Freedom to wardrobe.
Yeah.
And he goes in, and then he comes out dressed as half the Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, he's sort of Tin Man struck Captain America.
"I won't do it, Killian."
Yeah, yeah.
As we mentioned earlier. And then Killian says, get him out of here, to his assistant, who is actually Arnie's friend, Sven Torgensen, who's in all Arnie's films.
Oh, okay.
So I think he's his bodybuilding partner. Everyone? Pretty much, yeah. He's in Predator. He's the one who says, "Knock, knock."
Oh, okay.
So he shoots him. But yeah, he's Killian's bodyguard.
Ah.
And then he says, "Get him out of here." And then he says, "What's the matter? Steroids make you deaf." And they get rid of, and then they decide to make a fake video of Ben Richards being murdered.
They do.
By Captain Freedom.
Yeah.
By getting his face and putting it on a body double.
Yeah, and it's nice, simple. There's no, you know, whistles and bells with this one. It's just a small gladiatorial arena, and he just pins Arnie against spikes. That's it.
And he breaks Amber's neck immediately.
Oh, yeah, yeah, literally, which is what Arnie's been trying to do for the whole film, but he's just been leading up to it.
Yeah. Stole his thunder.
Yeah, and dynamos.
And, but anyway, so Ben finds Mick Fleetwood's underground network.
Again.
Which sounds like a website.
Yeah.
And they're going to hijack the feed. Amber gives them not only does she give them the code, so they can do that, she also gives them the raw Bakersfield feed. And Arnie says, "Where have you been hiding that?" "None of your business."
"Yeah, none of your business." I'm not going to tell you much.
Yeah.
Up my ass. So basically, yeah. And there's a bit where Arnie says like questions Mick's like abilities, or questions his army, who all got like little mining hard hats on.
Yeah.
And Mick says something like, "Don't worry, we're capable." Just really pathetic. And I just wanted him to, you know, because he is Mick Fleetwood, so, you know, he should be able to say, "It's all right, you know. We got reinforcements, you know, Five Star, Glenn Medeiros, right at the front, Shawadi Wadi. We're all right."
And then he says, "Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, I have got these strong men." And then Gary Davis comes out and says, aren't you going to show the nominations? There's a Brits 89 joke for you, everybody.
Yeah, there you are.
Please, if you haven't seen any footage of the Brit Awards from 1989.
It's all there.
You have to go and look at it. There's only snippets of it on YouTube.
Yeah.
but it is the most incredible TV event I've ever seen.
Mm.
It's our JFK. Because I saw it unfold live on TV. And I'm still bemused to this day, 30 years later, as to what happened.
How did it happen?
Yeah.
How did it happen?
You've got this very small lady and a very tall man.
Yeah.
And they both can't talk properly.
You've never met.
Yeah, you've never met.
And can't despite read spending 2 hours next to each other, have never met.
And at one point, Sam Fox's autocue does fail. In fact, both their autocues fail.
Yeah.
And they don't know what to say.
I have no idea.
And at one point, they introduce somebody and Gary Davis comes out and says, no, I'm not that person. And then they say, right, and the winner is? And he goes, aren't you going to tell us who the nominations are, Mick? Oh, yeah, sorry. Anyway, sorry, I digress. Yeah. So Mick Fleetwood makes a Mr. Spock joke, which is very funny.
Yeah, well, I don't know about funny, it's not, is it? But yeah.
He says, you've got the comms.
You take the calm, Mr. Spock, and the guy goes, who's listening?
And
could have done the Cardinal and gone, who's Dr. Spock?
Yeah.
Because when people say Dr. Spock, quite frankly, they're down the chute and all. It's Mr. Spock.
If there's one thing that they got wrong about the future is that people wouldn't know what Star Trek is because they seem to be born every 5 seconds, Star Trek fans. Anyway, so Ben and Mick's men storm the station.
Yeah, so there's lots of running around some abandoned power station they found.
And the number two in Mick's army is played by Dweezil Zappa.
It is.
He's the one who says, don't touch that dial. Yeah.
So they're battling through shooty shootouts.
And then they grab the uplink.
Yeah.
And they put on the actual footage of the Bakersfield.
What really happened.
Yeah.
And this is the bit where, in author's message, where suddenly the entire population who up until this point have been kill, go, oh, we were so wrong, mankind. Or is it man cruel? And they all learn a big fucking immediate lesson.
Yeah.
And go, oh, we're awful. Gosh, television has made us like this.
But I like you. And then they all walk off.
Dick Emery.
And they all walk off and slightly trip over.
Yeah. Onto a big marrow.
Yes, and also they get to see the previous winners.
Yeah, who are dead.
Who are Skellingtons.
Yeah, so they immediately go, well, I'm going to accept that at face value now. So everything I've ever been told is a lie.
Mm.
So riots start occurring.
So please kill Killian.
Yeah, please kill him. Kill. Yeah, they get into a frenzy.
And in the end, Arnie gets Killian and straps him in that chair.
It's brilliant. So nice.
And then he said, Killian says to him, ah, go to hell. You're sorry, I don't do requests. And that's the point where Killian's assistant turns up.
Ah,
the muscle man.
That's right, okay, yeah.
And then he says, get him. And he goes, sorry, steroids made me deaf. And then he walks off.
Yeah, leaves him to his fate.
Yeah.
What I like is just before, is Killian goes through that lovely rule of three where it starts off with, hey, come on, it's TV, TV. And then it's, oh, you know, you could do well with me. Then it's begging, and then it's just damn right, fuck you! I love all that. You really see his fucking, like, oh, no, that's the end of me. It's a real nice comeuppance.
Yes, and he gets sent down the chute, but for some reason his one explodes in a fireball.
He flies into an exploding advert of himself.
Yes, right. Yeah.
That's what happens.
So they
remove that little net.
Yes. Poetic justice.
It is poetic justice.
The last thing he saw.
The weird thing is he doesn't make a sound as he goes down. And what I really wanted was him screaming all the way down. Just to give it that bit more gravitas.
Or singing. Yeah.
Yeah. Or even doing some knitting. You know, just something on the way down. Or
singing some Hank Williams.
Yeah. Just something, please.
Anything.
Yodeling. Do something. Yeah. Plan a small musical. Just do something.
Masturbate.
No, you haven't got the room. Your wrists are tied as well. Wrists are tied. Maybe at least concentrate on getting an erection.
Try and suck yourself off because it's the last time you'll be able to.
Suck yourself off in the 30 seconds you've got as you career down your deck on a slippery aluminium tube.
When am I going to get another chance?
You know, plan a new cake recipe. Do something.
Mm.
But no, he just sits there, resigned to his fate.
Start a .com company.
Yeah, do something. For God's sake.
Yeah, no, he does nothing.
Nothing. Anyway, there you go.
Oh, and also Amber electrocutes Dynamo with a sprinkler.
She does, and she also has a wonderful line where she calls him a dickless moron with a battery up his ass.
Yeah, you've delivered it better than she did.
It's actually quite good because Dynamo, we know, obviously hasn't been killed, and he's back, and he's now sort of just outside his dressing room, sort of half in his costume and half not. And he then attempts to rape her. It's horrible.
Yeah.
And he's got these big baggy white Y-fronts
on.
All that happens is Amber uses the sprinkler system to kill him.
Yeah.
Again, it's a ridiculous notion.
Mm-hmm.
If you're walking around with this on,
He should be earthed.
He should be earthed at all times.
First lesson of electricity.
Deary me.
You know who'd be a very good stalker?
Go on.
Fred Dibner.
Dibner would be amazing.
He'd be the top steam. Of the steeples.
Steam. Steam and steeples.
Yeah.
No, he'd throw a weather vane at you.
He would.
Really fast.
Really fast.
Oh, he'd shoot it out of a cannon and then drag you back and then steam you.
Yeah, and because it's the future, he'd have a steam roller. But it would be like a rocket-powered one that goes really fast.
So I tell you what else would be good. Fanny Craddock.
Oh.
She'd be great. Craddock! Down, 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 down. Rolling pin in one hand and chip pan in the other.
And she'd throw those weird 70s jellies at you.
Yeah, they had, she'd like, throw hot chips at you, hot chip fat at you. Like, just stare at you as well.
Prawns ball bag in it.
Just stare at you.
She was a terrifying woman.
She was she was like a Skeksis from the Dark Crystal.
She certainly was.
Learned to cook. Pastry.
Oh, another good one would be, you know, the jazz lady.
Oh, Cleo Lane?
Yes.
Yeah, and with Johnny Dankworth?
Yeah.
Does Johnny have to accompany her?
Yeah, he could fire bolts of lightning out of his saxophone.
So basically she would scat you to death. Scoobab, 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 beep, beep, boo. And you just take your own life. Oh, fuck that.
She'd adopt a frequency that would make your brain melt.
And then Johnny would wander over your corpse and do a really low note. The saxophone to denote your death. That would be it. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you've got any suggestions of who do you like to see thrown into the zones or who you'd like to see as a stalker, please do get in touch because we'd love to know.
Use the hashtag #MyFavouriteStalker.
And I'm sure nothing of consequence will happen.
No.
When you go online with that.
You'd probably get that woman who claimed to be Mike Reed's wife. Was her name Gypsy Rose Lee or something?
I can't remember. Deary me.
Anyway, we have now concluded the Running Man, so I'm going to ask you.
And it just ends really crap, doesn't it? It's just we've won, and then they have a kiss, and then they walk into the sunset, or then
they go back
to
the fog factory.
They go back to the fog factory, and again, he's guiding her by her neck.
Yeah.
And that's how it ends.
It's not very progressive.
No. But, you know, it was a fun ride.
What are they going to do on telly next, though?
Hmm?
What are they going to do on telly next?
Yeah, what comes. Well, I presume now that it's now a brave new world, it's all going to be brand new.
El Dorado.
And there was riots, and they went straight back to Running Man.
Yeah.
We can't take this anymore.
Presented by Altel.
Avast thee, mine heart, it's Tell, but the old Running Man. Tell don't run that much now. Well, I tell you who was our first contestant. Dear, can you imagine?
He would be so happy, though, if he...
Jenny Agata! What?
You thought you were here for a chat.
Well, that'd be Eamon Andrews, wouldn't it? Sort of, this is your life.
Oh, yeah.
Surprising you. You thought I was here to tell you about your life. Well, you're wrong. Down the chute you go.
To meet Fred Dibner. Terry, though, would be very happy to have cancelled El Dorado for the Running Man.
Yeah. No, I think
that would be the ultimate revenge.
Man of principles.
Marcus against Fred Dibner and his steamroller of death. Right, Paul.
Yes, sir.
Who was the best, Arnie or Sly?
That was really hard, but I'm going to go with Sly, actually. Ooh. And I'll tell you for why.
Yep.
I think he's got 0.003% more range in his acting.
Mm.
And Arnie is occasionally... Sly has occasionally done films where he won't just... What was that mad? He did a mad capery 80s, like a Mickey Blue Eyes comedy.
Oscar?
Oscar. It's awful, but he did it.
Yeah.
And then he's the one where he's a sheriff of an out-of-weight sheriff in a dead-end town in...
Copland.
Copland. And he's great in that. Whereas Arnie, I'm struggling to think of anything that isn't, I'll be back to kill you again.
Kindergarten Cop?
Again, yeah.
Junior, when he has a baby?
Yeah. So I just think...
Twins?
I just think Sly pips him in the fact that he can do some other things.
Yeah.
And also, Sly's first ever film is a Woody Allen film, weirdly.
Bananas.
Take the Money and Run.
Oh, is it Take the Money and Run?
Yeah, where he's a hooligan on the subway. Yeah.
Number two.
Yeah.
What's the best action movie of all time?
I don't know. Probably Die Hard, isn't it? It has to be.
Yeah.
I'd like to say something for comedy effect, but it's bloody Die Hard. It's just brilliant.
It's not Carry On Jack.
It's not No, it's not Carry On Jack. Okay. Carry On Solaris, it's not that either.
No.
Which is close second. No, I'd imagine it's Die Hard, isn't it? It's just really good.
Yeah.
Just brilliant.
Terrorists have taken over a skyscraper. This isn't news.
No.
You can take three celebrities with you to stop them. Who are you taking up the Shard and why?
Okay. I thought about this and every single one of my hypotheses just got worse and worse and worse. My first was to go for the fattest celebrities I knew as some sort of human shield, some sort of wall. Then I thought of famous terrorists and I just thought they might then get, they might just get on and have a party. Mm. But no, what I've decided I'm going to do, so I can bring three, yeah?
Yeah.
Right. I'm bringing in straight away Enya and Brian Eno. Straight in. Straight in. They're coming in with me, literally arm in arm. Uh-huh. Because I think their melodies and their haunting, dreamy music, they're going to lull the terrorists into sort of trance-like state, get them calm and relaxed. Mm. And as soon as they're in that relaxed state, bang in number three, Derren Brown. Mm. Because now he can start working on their minds. They're all relaxed. And he can start saying things like, you know, when I say the word envelope, you'll think your gun is a fucking kitten or something.
Yeah.
Or your legs are shampoo. So, you know what? He'll go back in the room and then I'll be like, yeah, terrorist, what do you want to do? And then Derren Brown will go, envelope. And they'll be like, meow, meow.
Yeah.
And that'll be it. Yeah. Sorted.
Okay, good, good.
Sorted.
You can go back in time and stop someone from being born. Who is it? Much like Desert Island Discs, I'm giving you Hitler.
This took me a long time because there's so many. No, do you know, I don't know the name of this person.
Oh.
But they are the person I hate more than anyone in the world. And they work on the show Homes Under the Hammer.
Right.
And it's the guy that decides what music they use to illustrate the points of the presenters, because it drives me to fucking boiling point.
Right.
Because in the episode, they'll go, well, this home will be better if it wasn't for the dry rot. And then some little fucker digs into archive material to find any song by a fucking musician you've never heard of called Beeswax or something. You've never heard of them. Mm. That has the word dry or rot in it. So it'll be like, rat, rat in, a rat, rat, rat in. And then the next one will be, oh, it's very cold in here. And suddenly this fucking music will come in like, it's a cold place, baby. And I don't know who's doing it, but it's in every single episode, illustrative stock material music to illustrate what's going on. Whereas we all fucking know the only fucking song they should use in every episode, every 5 fucking minutes, should be Shaking Stevens, This Old House Is Fucking Knackered, because it covers everything. And you don't need to then look for these. Honestly, sometimes they'll go, these pipes are a bit rattly, and this fucker will find someone like, pipes in the house, baby, rattly rat. And you're like, where are you finding this music? And it's never music you know.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh yeah, that's Elvis there. There's Fleetwood Mac. There's David Bowie. It is people like called, you know, the Warminsters or Captain Beef. Not Captain Beefheart, that would be brilliant.
Yeah.
Window
Captain
pane.
Roast Beef.
Yeah, Captain, yeah. Roast Beef and the Spuds. It's just bollocks music and it happens in every episode and I shouldn't watch it anymore. But now I hate it so much, I love to hate it.
Mm.
So I watch it and I've been watching it for years and it's whoever's doing this in the continuity or whatever the fucking department is who has to research all these sounds. Oh, I hate them and I want them to die.
Mm.
So them.
Okay, good. A hypothetical fistfight takes place between Rocky Balboa and John Matrix, which is Arnie in Commando. Who wins?
Is it?
Yeah.
Fuck, I got confused.
What did you think?
I thought it was the Matrix.
Yeah, a lot of people thought that. That's why I've had to put that in. The idea is called John Matrix, though.
Oh, God. All right, yeah, that's buggered that, because I thought John Matrix would win.
Good.
But I wrote something else completely because I thought it was The Matrix.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that's my fault.
Again, I just thought it was a bit like Darren Brown. If he was Neo, he could change things, so he could turn
Rocky into Jerry.
Turn Rocky's hands into soup or something.
That's a good idea.
I was thinking he could get Agent Smith. No, Agent X. Agent Smith.
Agent Smith.
Agent Smith to inhabit Adrian's body, and then in the moment of lovemaking, snap his dick off.
Oh.
So obviously, none of that is valid.
No.
None of that is valid.
No.
Okay.
And finally, if you could make your own 80s action movie, who would be it? What would it be about and who would be the lead?
Okay, well, my 80s action film is called Mother Nature, but mother with a U, as right. In motherfucker.
Right.
Mother Nature!
Yeah.
And it stars Wesley Snipes and Steven Seagal,
who
are two formerly disgraced weathermen. Right. I don't know why they're disgraced. I don't know what they did.
Right.
But basically, they team up to actually fight natural disasters.
I like that.
Physically.
Yeah.
So they'll kick the shit out of an earthquake somehow. They'll beat a tsunami into submission, put a hurricane in a headlock, that sort of thing. It's probably directed by Joe Schumacher's Chiropodist, soundtrack by Van Halen. It's got dialogue such as things like, you gotta help me, Jack. That motherfucking avalanche has kidnapped my daughter. And so they got to do something about that. Movie tagline probably is something like, Mother Nature's a bitch, these two are bastards. Or they gave the eye of the storm a black eye, open brackets, the storm.
I like that.
But it's Mother Nature, and it's meant two men fighting fighting nature.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
It's like Twister, but more of an action movie.
Yeah, literally wading into a hurricane to fight it physically. Yeah, yeah. I think it's great. Yeah. And somehow they can do it as well, and you never question the logic of it.
Of course.
Yeah, I like the idea that you can get an avalanche in a headlock.
Wonderful. Paul, thank you so much for coming back.
You're welcome.
Please come back again.
I'd love to. It's always lovely to speak to you, sir.
And you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Welcome to All Rather Mysterious, the podcast that aims to unlock the mysteries of the past with the key of fact. My name is John Rain.
My name is Eleanor Morton.
My name is David Reed.
Please join us as we present to you mysteries that have baffled the world.
You had any noises?
What about a door creaking?
You don't have to do it.
That weird kadoonk that lights going off makes for some reason in films.
All Rather Mysterious.